We're in Philippians chapter 4. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Well, I don't know if you're very excited about it, but you're there. And I'm glad you are. I'm just playing around with you a little bit. But Philippians chapter 4, we have two more messages, believe it or not, in the book of Philippians. And we are now on our 22nd message through this book of the Bible. And what a joy it has been to go through the book of Philippians, a book of the Bible that is really all about the subject of joy. And it's communicated in every word that is spoken through this epistle. Today we'll be in chapter 4, verses 14 through 19. We'll also be looking at verse number 10. And before we jump in to read the scripture for today, I want us to take a minute to consider the context of what we're looking at here. As we come to Philippians 4 and verses 10 through 19, one of the things we're going to discover today is the purpose, really, fundamentally, for why the Apostle Paul was led of the Holy Spirit to write these words to the church at Philippi. And that was primarily because the church at Philippi had sent one of their own members, who we learned earlier, his name was Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus had come from the church in Philippi, and he had brought something with him from the church at Philippi. And what he had brought with him was a love offering, a financial gift to help support Paul during his time of trouble while he was imprisoned in Rome. And as Epaphroditus, who had come and brought this gift, was getting ready to head back home to Philippi, Paul didn't want to send him home empty-handed. And so he gave him this scroll. He said, "I want you to bring this back to our church family in Philippi." And that scroll was the book of Philippians. That's what we know it as today. But in that scroll, one of the primary motivations that had compelled Paul to write it was because he wanted to write back to the church and tell them, "Thank you. Thank you for thinking of me. Thank you for praying for me. Thank you for supporting me. And thank you for sending a love offering to help me through this time of trouble that I'm going through." You know, in the words of appreciation that the Apostle Paul expresses here to this church in Philippi, we find some of the most clear biblical teaching on the subject of giving in all of the Bible. And I want us to read a little bit longer portion of the passage to get context here. Let's start in verse number 10. And if you're with me, say amen.
Amen.
Verse 10, the Bible says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." By the way, those three verses there, the ones we looked at last week, and we learned about Paul's secret to contentment. And I'll just say this, until you learn to be content, you'll never learn to give the way that God intends for you to. See, true giving is to come from a heart that realizes you have been so abundantly blessed by God that you want to give back just a portion of what He's blessed you with. And really, contentment is so critical for us to understand the true heartbeat of giving. Let's move on. Verse 14. "Notwithstanding, you have done well that you did communicate with my affliction. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated or gave or fellowshipped with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound and am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." And let's read verse 19 out loud together. Ready and begin. "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." What a wonderful passage of scripture. And the Bible gives us so many practical truths about the subject of giving here. Now, I highly doubt that you woke up this morning, the alarm clock went off, and you turned it off, and you woke up and you thought, "Man, I sure hope the pastor preaches on giving today." I doubt that was the first thing that came to mind. But it's the next chapter, next verse in the scripture. And I tell you something, a lot of times, anytime the subject of giving is spoken about, there tends to be a negative connotation with it. And I understand there have been a lot of unreliable people in our world who have abused the people of God and the good-heartedness of God's people in this area. We're just going to focus on what the Scripture has to teach us about this subject. And I'll tell you, when you truly wrap your heart and your mind around what the Bible teaches us about the subject of giving, it'll be a blessing to your life. And I can assure you of that. And I'm looking forward to communicating these truths to you. Now, I heard the story about a man who one day was alarmed by the cry of a woman. And the woman was kneeling down in front of her child. To come to find out, the child had swallowed a coin. And the man, as soon as he realized what was going on, he ran over to the child. He picked up the child by his heels and turned him upside down and began to shake him ferociously. And wouldn't you know it, out came the quarter dropped on the sidewalk. And the woman looked at the man and he said, "Oh, thank you so much for helping me. You seem to know just how to get the money out of him. Are you a doctor?" And the man said, "No, I'm not a doctor. I actually work for the Internal Revenue Service." You know, that joke used to be a lot more funny before they hired 87,000 new IRS agents, but I digress from that. But anyways, I'm not an IRS agent, and I'm not after your money today. God has blessed us here at Lighthouse, and God has blessed me personally, and I want you to understand that right from the forefront. This message on giving, it's really for you. It's for your benefit. Because if you really wrap your head around what the Bible teaches us on the subject of giving, you'll soon discover that giving, in giving to the Lord, you're the one who's blessed. More so than anyone else, you're the one who is blessed. And I can agree with what the apostle said in verse 11. He said, "Listen, not that I speak in respect of want. I'm not after anything here. I'm fine with what God has blessed me with. But this teaching on giving is for your benefit." And once you learn the joy of what the Scripture refers to as grace giving, you will find that you are the one who is most blessed for it. One person put it this way. He said, you can't outgive God. You just can't do it. I like what Jesus said in Luke chapter number 6, verse 38. He said, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaking together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. Give, and it shall be given unto you." See, God has some clear teaching for us in the Scripture on the subject of giving. And wouldn't you be surprised to know that just about 1/6 of the New Testament is on the subject of giving. Now, a lot of people get shocked when I tell them that. The Bible has a lot to say on the subject for us here. And I think that we need to listen to what the Scripture has to teach us. And I want to teach you what the Bible has to show us about giving God's way. And there's a lot of wrong ideas about the subject of giving. Well, let's find out what God has to teach us about this subject. And let's see how the Holy Spirit will help us grow in this area. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes before we dive into this. We ask the Lord to speak to your heart quietly in your seat there as I pray out loud. And let's ask God to speak to us through His Word. Father, we come before You this evening, this morning, and we thank You for the opportunity that we have to be able to gather in this room, the freedom that we have to be able to preach Your Word. And Lord, as we come to this passage in Philippians, I know that You have much that You want to do in our hearts to challenge us in this area of giving. And Lord, I pray that You'd help us to see together that You have called us to this as an act of worship. And Lord, it isn't a burden, it's a blessing to be able to give. And I pray we'd see that clearly as we study the Scriptures together this morning. And I pray our church that we would grow in this area of giving. And Lord, I pray that every person would be willing to listen to what You have to say through the Scriptures today, and that we'd respond appropriately as You lead us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, is this thing cutting in and out? Or is that just me thinking I'm hearing that?
It just started.
It just started, huh? Okay. Y'all just looking at me. That's okay. All right? If it starts cutting out, I don't hear well, just wave at me, okay? And I'll trade mics. But for the time being, we'll stick with it. Well, I want to give you 5 biblical principles that will guide you in giving God's way. Number one this morning, you can note the first principle down, and that is the provision for giving. The provision for giving. Verse number 10, the Bible says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity." Here, the Apostle Paul expresses his gratitude for the way the church at Philippi had cared for him. And their kind generosity had filled his heart with gladness in the Lord. And have you ever had somebody that just at just the right time, they may or may not have known that you needed it, but they gave you a gift, and boy, it was just what you needed. And that encourages your heart. That gives you joy in the Lord to think that God would use somebody to help meet a need for you. And that's certainly what had happened for the Apostle Paul here. And so he begins to tell them, listen, what you sent, it filled my heart with joy. And he begins to express his gratitude for the church for their coming through for him. The indication of the text is that there had been a season, a long season in fact, where Paul had had no support or no communication from anyone else, including the church at Philippi. And I want you to keep in mind, in that day and time, the prison system was a little bit different than what it is today. In the Roman culture, they did not take care financially of their prisoners. In fact, the prisoners were expected to take care of themselves, even though they didn't have the capacity, really, to be able to do it. And so Paul, before he went to prison, he was able to work a secular job. He was a tent maker by trade. And anytime he didn't have enough to feed himself, he could go work. But he's in prison now. He couldn't do that anymore. And he literally had to rely on the goodness of other people to take care of him. And he'd been in Philippi now for some time. And there was a long season where no one had sent anything. And he, I'm sure, during that time was beginning to be tempted to wonder, does anybody care about me? Does anybody remember me? All the people that I ministered to, and here I am left alone in prison with nobody to help. And yet the Bible tells us there in verse 10, Paul said, at last, Epaphroditus showed up. And at last, the gift came from Philippi. And Paul realized they had cared for him all along. But what was the holdup? Why had it been such a long season since the church at Philippi had sent a gift, a way to help him? Well, the Bible tells us at the end of verse 10 that the reason was because they lacked opportunity. It wasn't because they didn't care about Paul. It's because God had not opened that door of opportunity for them to be able to give. And that's important. That's an important fact for us to see, which we'll talk about here more in just a minute. But at last, the Bible tells us in verse 10 that their care for him had flourished again. I love that phrase in the Greek, flourished again in verse 10. It's the Greek anathelo, and it is used here, and it means to revive or to grow green again. And so picture this in your mind. There was a long season where it seemed like their care for Paul and their ability to help Paul had withered and faded. Then all of a sudden, God revived their ability to help. God caused their ability to help to grow green again, and they were eager to send support as God gave them the ability to do so. And this reminds us of an important truth, and you can mark this down. You can only give as God prospers you. You can only give as God prospers you. Now understand something. God is the one who gives you everything that you have in your life. The Bible says in James 1 verse 17 that every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father. He's the one that gives us everything that we have in our life. And so as God prospers you, as God gives you materially the ability to be able to give, he then asks you to set aside a portion of what he has blessed you with to give toward the work of the gospel going forward. I want you to look at a passage of scripture in your notes, or you might mark it down and look it up later. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. The Bible gives us some instruction here to the church about the matter of giving. And it says in 1 Corinthians 16 verse 1, now concerning the collection for the saints, verse 2 goes on to say, upon the first day of the week. What day is that? Sunday. By the way, the church always gathered on a Sunday. Don't let anybody ever try to tell you different. The Bible's very clear about that. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. What does the next phrase say? As God has prospered him. Guess what? If God doesn't give you something to give, you can't give. Makes sense, doesn't it? But as God prospers you, he desires that you take a portion of what he's blessed you with to pour it back in to the work of the Lord. Now, the Bible speaks specifically of two particular ways God desires for his people to give. Number one, this isn't in your notes, but this is for free. Number one is the tithe. The tithe is a tenth. That's what it literally means. A tithe is a tenth of your prospering, a tenth of your income. By the way, the Bible makes very clear in the Old Testament and the New Testament that the tithe is the Lord's. You could hold it back, you can refuse to give, but the truth of the matter is a tenth of what you make is supposed to be given to the Lord. That's called the tithe, and God expects for all of his people to give that tithe as an expression of worship to him. By the way, he's given you the other 90%. He asked for 10. Aren't you glad he didn't ask for 90% and you're going to keep 10? That'd make things a little bit more difficult, wouldn't it be? But God asks us, first of all, to give the tithe. And the second type of gift God asks his people to consider giving is referred to as an offering in the scriptures. Now, an offering is a gift above and beyond the tithe that is typically designated to a specific need. For example, one of our primary offerings that we encourage our church members to give is to missions. Above and beyond our tithe and supporting our local efforts to get the gospel out, we give an offering to help our missionaries. And we have about 40 missionaries right now. And they take the gospel beyond Cortez, Colorado, all over the world. And so that's a way that you could give an offering is to missions. You could give to help support our building fund, our youth ministry. You can give to help support the poor. There are many ways that you could give an offering over and above your tithe. But the fact remains, you can only give as God prospers you, as God gives you the ability to give. And furthermore, giving then is a privilege because it means that God has prospered you. If you don't have anything to give, that means that God hasn't given you anything to give. But by the way, if you have something to give, then that means God has blessed you. And giving then is a way to express your appreciation for what God has done for you. I like one of the men in our church, oftentimes he'll come up to me on Sunday and he'll say something along the lines of, I'll ask him how his week went. And he said, well, praise God, he gave me something to tithe with this week. And I thought, when he first said that, I thought, well, that's an interesting way to put it. But you know what? He understands exactly what we're talking about. And that is, as God prospers you, he gives you the ability to be able to express your thanksgiving to the Lord for blessing you by giving. Now, I've had a lot of people try to say to me throughout the years, well, I just don't make enough to give. And I find that to be a very interesting statement. Listen, if you can't learn to be obedient with the little God's blessing you with right now, why in the world would you expect God to give you more? The Bible says, he that is faithful in that which is least will be faithful also in much. But he that is unjust in that which is least will be unjust also in much. And the fact of the matter remains, it doesn't matter what the bottom line of your income comes. What really matters is the measure of your faith. Are you willing to trust God when he blesses you and be obedient with what God leads you to do in this matter of giving? And so we see, first of all, the provision for giving. God gives us the capacity to give, and he asks us to lay aside, when he prospers us, part of what he has blessed us with, to give back into his work. Now, if you're still with me, say amen. Amen. Nobody started throwing anything at me yet, so I think we're safe, okay? Number two, here's the second biblical principle. I want you to see the partnership of giving. The partnership of giving. Verse number 14, the Bible says, notwithstanding, you have done well that you did communicate with my affliction. Now, the Apostle Paul here, as he writes in the scripture, we see he was so grateful that the church at Philippi had followed God's leading in their hearts to partner with him in the gospel ministry. And the word that he uses here is interesting. It's not one we use very much today. The word that he uses in verse 14 is the word communicate. He says, you've communicated with me. Does that mean they called him? Does that mean they wrote to him? No, it's not what it means at all. The word communicate, it comes from the Greek word koineo, and it is used here, and it literally means to partner with, or to fellowship with, or to participate with someone. And be it known to you, when you give through your local church ministry, you are literally partnering together as believers to support people who are busy about the ministry of the gospel, to support the ministries of your local church and trying to get out the gospel in your community and all across the world. And so literally, the Bible indicates to us that giving to the Lord's work involves a partnership. It involves a group of people coming together to partner and to accomplish God's mission for us. Now hear me out on this, because I want to give you an illustration to help see this a little bit more clearly. Every time you give to any organization, really, if you think about it, you're partnering with them. And so some of you who might be very much Second Amendment people, you very well might contribute to the NRA as a result of that. Okay? It involves a partnership. You're coming together to support a cause that you believe in. If you want to help people who are poor in the community, you might support an organization like the Good Samaritan, who does much to help the poor in the community. And the truth is, many of you may give to different organizations for different reasons, but whether you've realized it or not, anything that you give to involves a partnership. By the way, here recently, that's why there's been so many people that say they want to boycott things, because sometimes you don't want to put money into an organization that does not support things that you don't believe in. Because giving involves a partnership. And while there are many noble causes in this world that we could partner with, hear me out on this, the most significant partnership we should have in life is with the New Testament local church. Because there is no organization like it that God has placed into this world to accomplish the mission that he has for this world. Now, no church is perfect, but every person's number one partnership in the matter of giving should be with their local church. And as a local church, we join together in a partnership to support the ministry of the gospel going out here locally and globally all around the world. And it's so important that we all participate in this partnership. And so why is it so important to partner with your local church in giving? Well, first off, write this down. Because it's the right thing to do. Because it's right. The Bible tells us in verse number 14, it says, notwithstanding, you have what? Well, let's look at it together. Look down there, verse 14. Notwithstanding, you have what? You've done well. What does Paul say to the people here? He essentially says, you did good, church. Good job. You've done well. He tells them in the fact that they were giving. Now, he wasn't looking for a gift. But in the fact that they gave, Paul tells them, you did a good job. And bottom line, the reason you ought to give through your local church is because it's the right thing to do. And the Bible makes it clear that it's so. By the way, James 4 and verse 17, the Bible says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? It's sin. It's wrong for you not to do something the Bible tells you is right. And so the bottom line, and really the only reason we really should need to give is because God told us it's the right thing to do. By the way, can I say this? It's not your money anyways. It's God's. You wouldn't have it unless he blessed you with it. And so you ought to do with it what he tells you he wants you to do with it. And the Bible is very clear about these things. And so we need to join together in a partnership of giving. Because it's the right thing to do. Here's the second thing I want you to see. We do it because it involves a relationship. It involves a relationship. Look at verse 14. The Bible says, notwithstanding, you have done well that you did communicate or partnered with or fellowshiped with me in my affliction. The church at Philippi had chosen to stand with Paul through the trial that he was facing. And they had fellowshiped together through the difficulties that Paul was facing. That's what Paul is indicating to us here in the scripture. And understand this, when you give through your local church, you are literally partnering together with other believers and God-called missionaries and sending the gospel all around the world. You're joining together in a partnership. And so giving then involves a relationship. We're all coming together in a relation, rallying around a similar cause, and that cause is the cause of Christ. Now, to date, Lighthouse Baptist Church has partnered with about 40 different missionaries, exactly like the Apostle Paul, who are going all throughout our country and all throughout the world trying to get the gospel out to places where the gospel is being preached. And every month, or every other month, or some of them about once a quarter, they'll send every one of our missionaries will send a report to give us an update. Brother Reese talked about the Pattersons today and what a blessing it was to hear about the souls that were saved and the things God's doing in the Philippines. And listen, the reason why they can stay there, the reason why they can live there, many of our missionaries go to foreign countries where they can't get jobs and support themselves even if they wanted to. The reason why they can stay there and be busy about the ministry is because of the faithful giving of God's people here. We partner with our missionaries in helping the gospel go literally across the seas. And we can have a part in the gospel going forward across the world through our giving. We also partner locally with ministries such as Heart to Heart and the Good Samaritan to support real local needs in our area. And those are important for us to do, and I believe we should be involved in those things as a church as well. But the point is, hey, when you give to the church, it involves a relationship. It involves a partnership, and we're partnering together in our giving to help the ministry of Christ go forward. And so, hey, this partnership, it's right. It involves a relationship. Here's the third thing I want you to see. It is rare. It is rare. Look at verse 15 with me, if you would. Verse 15, the Bible says this. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Now, if you go back to Acts chapter 16 and 17, we won't for sake of time, but you'll read the history of the church, and what you'll find is that after the Apostle Paul started the church at Philippi, he moved on farther into the region of Macedonia, and he arrived next at a city called Thessalonica. When he came to Thessalonica, the people there were not quite ready for his ministry fully, and so he determined he was not going to be a burden to those people. And so he began to work a secular job, and in his free time, he tried to preach the gospel. And many times on Saturdays, he'd go into the Sabbath and try to reason with people about Christ there. The wonderful blessing that Paul received that he did not expect when he went to Thessalonica was that that new church that God had just used him to start in Philippi, they started following the leading of the Holy Spirit, and they started giving. And they started sending money to help Paul so he didn't have to work a secular job as much, and he could focus more on preaching the gospel and getting a church started in Thessalonica. And boy, once and again, Paul said, you people from Philippi sent to help support me in my needs so that I could continue to do what God had called me to do. But the intimidating difficult truth that Paul communicates in verse 15 was that they were the only church who did so. Did you see that when we read it? You're the only ones who sent anything to help me get the gospel forward. And it is a sad reality that believers who actually give to gospel ministry are rare. And I'm just going to be very candid with you. And some of you are not going to like this, but I feel very strongly led of the Lord to do this. I don't know who gives what, and to be frank, I don't really care who gives what in this church. It's not my business. That's between you and God. And so the statistics I'm about to give you are in generalities, all right? And if I look at you when I'm saying it, it's not because I know whether you give or not, okay? But at Lighthouse Baptist Church today, of the 190 families who regularly attend our church, 106 actually give. That's 55%, in case you're wondering. Can I say that's not good? Now, I'm thankful for 55%. But giving's a command for all of us. What's even more horrifying to me as a pastor, and boy, God really convicted my heart about this week, is of the 190 families in our church, 44 give to missions. That's 23%. It does make me wonder how much more we could be doing to get the gospel out across the world if we would just be faithful to do what God has commanded us to do in the scripture. I know this isn't a comfortable subject. I believe this is a subject all of us need to be challenged in, and all of us need to grow in. And you know, to neglect to give God what is His is something that the Bible literally refers to as robbing God. Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 8, and here it is. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. Look at it in your notes here with me, if you would. Malachi 3 and verse 8. Let's read it out loud together. Here we go. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Are you robbing God today? God has blessed you with so much. Can you not give a little bit of what He's blessed you with to further His cause in this world? See, giving, partnering together through giving in the local church, it is a rare thing in this day and time. We see that it involves a partnership. It's a rare thing. We see that it's the right thing to do. But the final thing I want you to see is that it requires repetition. It requires repetition. Verse number 16, the Bible says, the Apostle Paul writes, for even in Thessalonica you sent once and again to my necessity. The people at Philippi had not only given once, they'd given again and again. And by the way, they were still giving. Paul had just received a new gift from them and still giving to help support his ministry. And listen to me, our missionaries don't need us to send them a one-time gift and think, you know what? I've done my part. I'm all done. No, they need us to continually support them so they can continue to go do full-time what God has called them to do. And I'll tell you something, the ministry of the gospel is more important than anything else that you and I have going in our lives. People getting saved, lives being transformed, there's not one thing in this world that's more important than it. And God has called us to be faithful in this matter of giving. And so we see the partnership of giving, which leads me to the third principle I want you to notice. And that is the product of giving. The product of giving. See, God used the faithful giving of the Philippian church to produce some eternal results. And by the way, I'll say this. As you faithfully give to the Lord, these results, these things God produces through the faithful giving of his people, will also be true in your life and in our church if we're faithful to do what God has called us to do. And so what will God produce through faithful giving? First off, note this down. Giving produces an abounding resource. It produces an abounding resource. Verse 16, again, the Bible says, "For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity." The local church in Philippi had continually given to support Paul's ministry, which in turn had enabled him to continue on his gospel ministry to the regions beyond. And listen to me, if they were the only church doing it, and if they had not been giving, Paul very well could have had to drop out of the ministry for a season in order just to put food on his own table. But because of their faithful gifts, it enabled Paul to have a continual resource to help him stay after what God had called him to do. And listen to me on this. God has ordained that the local church be a clearinghouse through which gospel ministries continue to be supported both locally and globally. And this has always been God's design from the very beginning. That's why it's given to us here in the New Testament. Paul Chappell said the ministry of the local church is always the result of giving. It is always the result of giving. And you see a gospel ministry that's been started anywhere, behind it, somewhere, God used some faithful people to give to make it possible for that ministry to exist. And you just cannot deny that reality. And so as we each give individually to what God has called us to, as God leads us, God will use our corporate gifts to advance his kingdom for Christ and around the world. And that's what the scripture teaches us here. And so what does your giving result in? What does it produce? Well, first, giving produces an abounding resource. Second, I want you to note this down. Giving produces an abounding return. An abounding return. Look at verse number 17 with me, if you would. Verse 17, the Bible tells us this. Not because I desire a gift, but read the last part with me. I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Paul wasn't talking to them about giving because he wanted more. In fact, in verses 11, 12, and 13, he said, listen, I'm content. I'm happy with whatever God gives me. But listen, he said, I'm talking to you about this because it's for your benefit. I desire, as you give, that your gifts will go into my gospel ministry, which will result in fruit that abounds to your account. And so what in the world was he talking about when he talks about this fruit that will abound to your account? Well, he's basically saying that their giving was an investment that would pay them rich spiritual dividends in eternity. And think about this. Every soul that was saved, every church that was planted, every life that was transformed through the ministry of the Apostle Paul, the church at Philippi had a part in because they had helped him, because they had given to support him. And I want you to think about this with me. It is a great joy to give to the local church because it pays eternal dividends. Right. And some of you like investing in real estate or crypto or the stock market or have what you may. And you're pretty good at doing those types of things. Can I tell you something? There's nothing that you can invest in that will give better returns than into the kingdom of God. Nothing. And it won't pay on this side, but it'll pay forever on that side. It pays eternal dividends. And the Bible says that all that there is to gain in the world is not equal in value to just one soul. Think about that. One soul is more valuable than everything that you could possess in this world. And so investing into the gospel ministries of individuals who are reaching souls for the kingdom of God is the most valuable investment that you could ever make. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust does corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves cannot break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And God says, treasure up, invest into eternal things. And that's why we are to give as the Lord tells us to. And let me tell you something. When you give to your local church, you get a share in what God does to the ministry of that church. You may not be able to be involved in every facet. You may not be able to lead every soul to the Lord, but every soul that's saved, every life that's reached, as you give faithfully through your local church, you get a part in. You get a part in. And the same thing could be true about our missionaries. That's why it thrilled my heart to hear about these five ladies who trusted Christ as their Savior in the Philippines. And I'll probably never meet them ladies on this side of eternity. But boy, because God has blessed me to be able to give to our missions program, I've got a part in that. And you do too as you faithfully give through your local church. And that's an important thing that the Bible wants us to understand here. And so giving produces an abounding return. Here's the third thing I want you to see. Giving produces an abounding recipient. An abounding recipient. Now, we're running out of time, so I'm going to hasten on this point here. But verse 18, the Bible says, Paul said, I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. Paul, he indicates here, I received what you sent, and I have been so blessed. It has helped me so much. And he expresses his thanksgiving to the church. And by the way, he's in prison. And his immediate needs may have been met, but I'm sure he's going to have more down the road. But I love Paul's spirit. He says, I have enough. I'm full. Thank you. I'm not asking for any more. But the fact of the matter is, the faithful giving of the church met the needs of God's servant so that he could continue doing what God had called him to do. And I'll just say this, and it's a biblical principle I think that we need to understand. God intends for the local church to do their part to support those whom he has called to full-time ministry. Now, all of us are called to preach the gospel. But there are some individuals God calls to serve in a full-time capacity. And we have 16 individuals in this church currently that are employed in that regard. There's a whole lot that needs to get done on any given week around here at the church. And I'm thankful for these people who are willing to serve and follow the call of God to serve full-time in gospel ministry. We also have these 40 missionaries that we support who are serving the Lord in full-time gospel ministry. And the Bible makes clear that we, as we faithfully give to the Lord, God desires to use those gifts to help you, to help further the ministry of the gospel through these particular individuals. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 11 says that those who have sown unto you in spiritual things ought to reap your carnal things. 1 Corinthians 9:14 says, even so has the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Listen, there was a time when I was uncomfortable talking about subjects like this. You know what? It's in the scripture. And it's so clear for us to understand in the Bible. And I feel so privileged to be able to stand and serve God in a full-time capacity. So privileged that God would allow me the privilege of being able to do so. And it's all because of the faithful giving of the people of God. And that's so important for us to understand. And so we see the product of giving. Now we got to wrap this up. So let's look at number 4. And that is the praise of giving. Now notice the language Paul uses to speak about their offering that they gave. In verse number 18, the end of the verse, the Bible says it was an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Paul viewed their giving as a spiritual sacrifice that was being offered up to God. The language that he uses here is so indicative of like the Old Testament Levitical system and those offerings that were offered in the Old Testament. There's a type or a picture communicated in these words. The first words that he used was that their offering was an odor of a sweet smell. And what is that talking about? Well, He's basically saying their giving was fragrant to God. In other words, God liked it. God was pleased by it. And the other thing it says is that their sacrificial giving was acceptable and well-pleasing. Not only was it fragrant to God, here we find it was favorable by God. In other words, God loved it. God accepted it. God looked at it. He didn't resist it. It was something that God was pleased with. And here's the point I want to get at with this. Giving is an act of worship to God. Now, oftentimes we come to church and we think about singing. Oh, yeah, we're praising God. We understand that's a way to worship the Lord. We think about serving. Yes, that's a way to worship the Lord, giving of ourselves to the Lord. But giving financially is no less an act of worship to the Lord than any of the other. That's why I had somebody give me a hard time, because oftentimes when we have the offering around here, we'll say something like, it's time to worship the Lord through our giving. And he said, oh yeah, you want to worship God through the giving, huh, preacher? And just didn't understand the biblical precedent here. But listen, it is. Paul says your giving is an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice that is acceptable and well-pleasing to God. And boy, it'll change your paradigm on giving when you understand it's not something that you have to do out of an obligation, but it's something that you get to do as an act of worship to a God who has so blessed you. And that's what we all need to come to understand when it comes to this matter of giving. And C.T. Studd, he put it this way. He says, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. Really, when it comes to the matter of giving, it should not be the bare minimum. Your giving should be a reflection of your appreciation for who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for you. Not a whole lot of amens on this subject right here, I know. But let the Holy Spirit challenge our heart with it nonetheless. By the way, the reason why your giving is acceptable to God is not because of the amount. It's because of Jesus. The reason why we offer anything to God that's accepted is because of the shed blood of Jesus. We don't give at church to get saved or to make God like us. Okay? We don't give to get God's favor. We give because we've gotten God's favor. When you trusted Jesus as your Savior, He made you accepted in the Beloved. Amen?
Amen.
And now we can offer up sacrifices that are acceptable to God only because of Jesus. And listen, if you're here today and you're putting money in an offering plate, or you're coming to church, or you got baptized, or whatever it may be, and you think that by doing all this, God's going to like you better, you've got it dead wrong. The only way you can get God's favor is by trusting in Jesus Christ. And for those of us that have trusted Christ, we know God accepts us. We have the great privilege as believer priests to offer up these sacrifices of praise to God. Not so God will like us, but because we know God has accepted us and we want to thank Him. That's what worship is all about. And so we see the praise of giving. The final thing I want you to see here is the promise in giving. And boy, this is the best part. So hang with me on here. The promise in giving. Now, Philippians 4:13, we looked at it last week, a verse often taken out of context. I think this verse is another one of those verses that we like to take out of context as well. Let's read verse 19 out loud together. Let's read it. Here we go. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, most people want to think that this verse is talking about the fact that God will always provide all your needs. But there is a condition when you study the context. Listen, this promise is made exclusively to those who faithfully give to God. Do you see that? Paul says, you all have given, and now I want to give you this assurance. God will take care of your needs. You've given to God, God will take care of anything that you may need. And this promise is given to those who give to the Lord. And so this promise assures faithful givers of two things. First, note this down. It assures us of the supply of God. The supply of God. Verse 19, the Bible says, but my God shall what? Supply. Our responses are getting progressively lower. I know, I'm hurrying up. But he says he shall supply. I think it's interesting he said, not our God, not your God. He said, my God. The apostle looked at God supplying their need as a personal favor from God for himself. He said, it's not just your God. My God's going to take care of you. You help to support my ministry. And boy, I'm praying and I can assure you that my God, who's the God that owns a cattle on a thousand hills, my God is going to take care of your needs because you've been faithful by faith to help support me and my needs. By the way, the Bible doesn't say that God will take care of all your greeds. All your needs is what the Bible says. It does not mean if you give to the church, it'll be health, wealth, and prosperity for you. You'll have hard times. You'll still struggle. But God will always make sure you have what you need. You always have everything you want. He'll take care of you. Apostle said, or the psalmist said in Psalm 37, I have been young and now I'm old. And yet in my lifetime, I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And God will take care of his own. You can be sure of that fact right there. And, I think that there's a false ideology that tries to teach that there's health, wealth, and prosperity that'll come if you'll give. And that's not at all what the Bible teaches. But the Bible does teach that God will take care of everything that you need. And it won't always happen in your timetable either, by the way. But he will take care of everything that you need. Now, a greedy person will think he doesn't have enough to give to God. And yet, when you realize how much God has blessed you, you'll be glad to give. In fact, when you start to give and you see God start coming through for you in ways that you could have never imagined, you'll be even more glad to give. I love what the Bible said. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 7, every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And here's what I want you to understand. I want you to walk out of here and say, well, the preacher is trying to make us all give. That's the last thing I'm trying to do. It's like when you have two kids, and I've got a lot of young kids right now, so I live this out every day, all right? They get something new, and they don't want to share it with their brother or sister. But then mom comes along or dad comes along and says, give it to them, let them have a turn. What do? They go over in the corner. I feel like that's how some of us give to the Lord, too. Listen, if that's your heartbeat, don't give. You need to get your heart right. God says, I don't want your begrudged gifts. I don't want you to feel obligated to give. But listen, the Bible gives us all these wonderful reasons in the Scripture for why we should give and the blessings that come of it and the difference it can make in the lives of others and the blessing it brings into our own lives. Why wouldn't we want to give? Hey, above and beyond that, he has given all for us. Can't we give something as an expression of thanks to God for what he's blessed us with? And so God says, I'm going to supply your need as you give. And then the second thing I want you to see is that he, not only do we see the supply of God, but we see the storehouse of God. You see, God has a limitless storehouse from which he can supply everything that you may need. That's what the end of verse 19 says. It says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Paul said, you supplied my need according to your poverty, and now my God is going to supply all your needs according to all his riches. The amazing thing to me is that God takes our little, our meager amount, and he chooses to use it. And in its place, he blesses us with his abundant riches. Now, those riches always don't always look like a higher number in our bank account. But more often than not, it looks like souls being saved and lives being transformed by the gospel, which are more valuable, by the way. It's worth it. It's worth it to give into the work of the Lord. And, you know, by God's grace, throughout our marriage together, Emily and I, every year we have been able to increase our giving. Now, we have not increase in our income every year necessarily, but every year by God's grace he's increased our faith to give him a little bit more, and he's always taken care of us, and we feel so blessed. And that's my challenge for us as a church: take a step forward in the area of giving. The Bible gives us a very clear challenge here, and the truth is, you ought to ask yourself when it comes to the matter of giving, how much do you want God to bless you for? See, a lot of times we have the wrong perspective. We think of giving in terms of what's the least amount I can give. We ought to be thinking, what's the most I can trust God with? Because He'll bless you for every bit of it. And that's an important thing for us to understand. And, you know, it truly is a privilege to be able to give. If you can give, it's only because God has prospered you. He's given you the capacity to give. And when you give, you get to support the work of the gospel going forward. You get to have a part in God changing the lives of individuals through the gospel of Jesus. And as you give, the promise is there. God will always make sure your needs are met. Hey, there's no bad part to this, okay? You just got to trust God with it. And it does take a step of faith. And my prayer is that we as a church will take a step forward in this matter of faith, in this matter of giving, as we exercise our faith in what the Scriptures is teaching to us here. And so will you allow God to work in your heart to help you take a step forward in this matter of giving?